I don't know what was going on. I had, what do they call it? The Riz. I had the Riz.
The Riz?
The Riz?
That's what the kids are calling it these days.
It's like jizz, but with an R.
This is going to be a very cringy clip on TikTok. Welcome to the Boyfriends Podcast, where we help you find your circle.
And your man.
I'm Jared D. King. I'm here with Greg and Noel, and we are back for another episode, and I'm so excited to have you guys back. But we need a quick update because we haven't recorded in about
February.
Since February. Yeah. And it's now, it's March, but it's like a month. Yeah. But yeah. So what's been going on? What's been on? Why don't we start with you, Greg?
I was traveling for work, just got back the other week, just trying to get caught up. Had a little, was there for business, had a little fun.
Okay.
You know.
I love that. Some good fun? Clean sure. fun? Good clean fun?
We cleaned up afterwards.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Okay. And Noel, what's been going on?
Same old, same old. Work is good. We got a puppy.
Oh, Whiskey. Nice. What kind?
It's a Boston Terrier.
Oh,
2 months.
And the name?
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Whiskey as in favorite booze and utensil. Like,
I love that. I love that.
Well, you're a gay chef.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks.
I think for me, I have, what have I been up to? Nothing really. No, I got a car. Bought a car. Bought a Tesla.
That's a big deal.
It was because you texted. I was like, bitch, got a car.
Not just a car, like a Tesla.
I needed it, though. I did need one because it was like my other car got like totaled and it was a whole thing. So, yeah.
That's... Glad How is
to,
it?
Glad
How
to
is
step it?
It
up. I love it.
I've never been in one before.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe for lunch, we'll like take a little
go for a joy ride.
Go for a little Daddy. Joy ride. but yeah, that's really been it for me. But today we are talking about being the third wheel or feeling like the ugly friend in the group. I know some of you guys can relate. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Actually, Noel.
Bitch, where?
We brought you here because we love you.
Oh!
It's fair.
But, yeah, well, like, when was the last time you guys felt like a third wheel or like a fourth or fifth wheel within a group of friends?
I would say high school, after high school, with, like, my straight friends and their boyfriends. I was, like, the solo gay guy in the group, so I was always like just going to movies with them and dinner with them, not having like a partner yet because I wasn't out yet also. I think it's the only time I felt like kind of like not included as far as being like third wheel, like, oh, Noel's coming, but like Noel's always on time. Like I was always the first one to arrive like at a party and whatever, and I always felt kind of like left out of the whole thing, okay. Sort of sometimes.
Okay. Was it other single friends? Or was it mostly like other couples or something?
It was both. It was like with my girlfriends because they were all girls.
Okay.
So I felt like I'm not really one of the girls, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I guess with maybe when I came out, like I was right into being in relationships. Like I wanted to have a boyfriend so bad. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have much friends until I moved to Philly like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that time I had a partner then too.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, I wasn't single, like a single gay for a long time either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got you. What about you, Greg?
I think, well, I mean, I can think of something very recently, but it's insignificant. I would say probably the last time I felt something like a little bit more real was probably when I first moved to Philly. And this is like 14, 15 years ago. And just in general, I mean, you and I have talked. I'm like, I know a lot of gay people. I don't actually like a lot of gay people. I'm selective as like the friends that I like actually leave in and kind of keep around. So when I was, I had met this like group of friends that had been, a lot of them had gone to like college together, like in New Hope. This is like right before I moved to Philly. And like, we all like really hit it off and they were like, oh, like you should like, we should all like hang out when you move to Philly. I was like, oh great, I already have like a friend group.
Yeah.
And like I just always felt like never really kind of like part of the group, which to gotcha. Be fair, like they had all been known each other like a long time and gone to like college. So like I definitely get that there's gonna be built in friendships there that like I don't have like full access to.
Right.
But I always just like didn't really have any other friends and was insecure, just happy to be like included. So I would just always be tagging along, but I was always like, nobody wants me here.
What about you, Jared?
Well, first, I do want to follow up because you said that Now, this was a group of gay friends that you were trying to hang out with. It didn't really work out or whatever.
I mean, they were, like, nice enough guys. You know what I mean? Well, some more than others, but, like, I don't know. Yeah. I was just happy to kind of have, like, a group, but I wasn't really part of that group.
Okay. Yeah, because it was just... I remember... Well, I just, like, a lot of the things that you have said on the podcast previously kind of led me to believe that maybe you didn't really fit in with a lot of, with, like, having, like, a gay circle anyway. And you had just said that, you know, you like, what did you say? You like gay people, but you don't like a lot of gay people.
I said I know a lot of gay people. I said I don't necessarily like a lot of gay people. Okay.
Could you explain that a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So for me, it's just, like, I see, if we're just going to, like, lean into, like, stereotypes of, like, different pockets of, like, friendship groups in, like, the gay community, I just see, like, a lot of, like, clickiness and, like, and I hear stories and I'm just like, are y'all, like, actually friends? Because you're either, like, beefing or, like,
okay.
So, like, I don't subscribe to that. So, like, I think within a lot of what I see in friend groups, those kind of clicky groups that travel together and do everything together and are, like,
they're, like,
mean and sassy. Exactly. I just don't, that doesn't appeal to me. That's not what I want in a friend group, whether you're gay or straight. So that's where I come from when I say that.
Gotcha.
And there are, like, real true blue people out there that I'm like, oh, if I have, like, a situation where, let's say I have, like, a wild night and I go missing and work's looking for me, I have, like, people on the hunt for me. Or, like, if I have, like, I have a flat tire or something, like, people I can actually call to show up. Like, I feel like a lot of that, like,
yeah,
if
difference.
I had an actual problem, they would be like, this doesn't serve me. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I come from with that. So, like, I have a lot of acquaintances. I'm not gonna, like, shit on anyone, but, like, real people that I, like, let in and won't consider family. That's different.
I got you. Yeah, for me, like, as far as feeling like a third wheel or something, I think the last time that I had felt that, or at least the one that really comes to mind, was a couple years ago. I was out with a friend and his boyfriend, and we were, I mean, I didn't feel like the third wheel when we had first started, like, hanging out that night, but I introduced somebody, an acquaintance that I knew, to them, and then they got really close, and then it was just like, okay, the energy shifts to me kind of being on the outs of, you know, this group that I kind of, like, introduced you to. And I don't like that. And I even think, now that I remember telling you the story of kind of breaking up with my friend in New York, you know, because, like, that night we were at a club and I was, like, talking. I had, like, you know, I don't know what was going on. I had what do they call it? The Riz. I had the Riz.
The Riz?
The Ritz?
That's what the kids are calling it these days.
The Ritz?
No, Riz.
Not the Ritz.
R-I-Z-Z. Catch up.
What's that?
You got, like,
charisma.
You got that Riz.
I think that's what that means. So they call it Riz.
Yeah.
That's like a Gen Alpha term.
Yeah. It's like jizz but with an R.
This is going to be a very cringy clip on TikTok. But, yeah, no, I mean, I was talking to, like, four guys at the table. And
cool.
Yeah, I mean, and I wasn't, like,
was
you know,
guys
I
closed?
But they weren't all, like, looking for me or anything like that. But, I mean, like, I had kind of pulled together, like, different pockets of people, and we were all kind of chit-chatting at the table. And now my friend had gone to the bathroom. By the time he came back, he was kind of like the odd man out. And I saw that and I was like, oh, well, here's my friend. You know, and this was one guy that I was flirting with and who actually came over to, like, kind of talk with me. And so I introduced him to my friend, and then my friend kind of, like, took over that whole situation.
No.
And now I'm sitting at the table looking at my left and my right and I'm not talking to anybody. And I'm like, all right, you know, and I don't like when I try to include people and then they don't reciprocate that,
yeah,
you know, or they don't try to keep it an open conversation. They kind of just, like, shift it to, oh, okay, well, now I'm here and I don't need you for the introduction anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the last time that I felt like a third or fifth wheel, I guess, in that case. But
I want to go back to you because, like, you mentioned, like, when you see guys, like, traveling herds out.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes when I see that, like, I want to be a part of that. Like, I want that camaraderie they have. They're always going out and having drinks, whatever. But I'm like, is that really...
Is it real?
Is it real?
I mean, that's exactly like, so again, if we're going back 14 years and I was 20, whatever, like that was definitely when I was like, oh, I need to have like a pocket of gays. Like everyone has one.
Yeah.
But after being around that and seeing some of like the drama or how they like treat each other or the things they do and say behind each other's back, I'm like, oh, I don't want that. So I thought I did, mm-hmm. but I've identified that I'm like, that's not actually what I want. And I think there are real groups of friends out there that don't fit into the stereotype that I'm describing right now.
Yeah.
But I definitely, that's what I saw. And I was like, ooh, I want that. I want to have somebody to go on like group trips with.
Yeah. But I miss out on that stuff. And like, I have other friends and like, they're part of Stonewall.
Mm.
And they're always together on Sundays, and how that goes. Like, I used to be in Stonewall, like, when I first moved here. I mm-hmm. was doing kickball and softball. So, like, that part, I did feel, like, included.
Yeah.
But now that I'm not anymore, they still play. And every Sunday they get together, and it's, like, a whole big thing. I'm like, fuck, I kind of miss that
a little bit.
But, like, that takes a lot of time, because you're in, like, tennis and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm in Stonewall.
You're in a lot of things. So, like, it does take a majority of your Sundays,
yeah,
on your weekends, and like it's a commitment.
It is,
you know. So I couldn't do it anymore with having work and stuff. So like I do miss that part. I do mm-hmm. feel that, like I feel like I'm missing out of the camaraderie of it. But I will say that like real friends that I have that are involved in Stonewall, if I see them outside of that, it's not like I'm really missing out in a way.
Mm.
It's just I see it from far away. I'm like, I wish I was like a little bit included. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's natural.
I mean, I get that too. I mean, I think, you know, I had always wanted that like throughout my 20s. I want to say it wasn't until like 2018 where I got to a point where I was at least making some acquaintances, you know, and what is it now? 2024? How many years ago was that?
Six.
Six. Thank you.
Okay, math.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm mathlexic, by the way.
So am I.
I couldn't do it very quickly. Uh-uh. But yeah, like, so at that point, I was, what, 31?
Mm-hmm.
By the time I started actually being a little bit more social and making friends and stuff like that. Yeah, I always wanted that. I always wanted that friend group. I never really got, like, a huge friend group, like, and I think when it becomes like over three or four it becomes a little bit iffy.
I keep my friend groups in different pockets because each friend gives me something different. So I tried that one time many years ago where I had like a barbecue at my house, mm-hmm. and I invited like this pocket, some knew each other from each other's pockets. But, like, I realized that, like, no one really meshed well because the personalities were different.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good just to have your own little bit of people here and there. And that's how the way I kept it for so long.
Yeah.
Sometimes you, like, what's that? Like, it doesn't matter.
Quality over quantity?
Thank you. That.
Absolutely.
That's what I've learned when I moved to Philly. Like, I didn't know really anybody. And then I met a group of people, and they're like, oh, they've been already friends for a long time. And because I was with someone, then they're always at our house because we entertained a lot. We always hosted. And then when we broke up, they were gone.
Yeah.
Other than like two or three who still like linger around in my life that has supported me after the breakup. But other than that, like it's hard to like move to a big city, find your cluster of friends, and then eventually they'll filter out who really wants to stay and be friends with you and give you something real,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I've been very intentional this year. I've been like moving forward. I need to make sure that the people that I'm hanging out with are kind of like of the same headspace and of the same, are into the same things and, you know, aren't gonna act crazy. You know, I guess for lack of a better word, it's like I need people around me who are going to make me feel good and not put me in weird situations.
We were just in one like last weekend.
Really?
Yeah, we went. We were invited to Carlos. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We went to a dinner at a friend's house, and they were like the couple who invited us. We met a few times from a party that you were at with me. Nice couple, and then they invited, like, a girl, her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was fire. and then two other couples, right? So I knew the one. And this person reached out to me back in my Grindr years, Scruff years, very small talk, whatever. Mm-hmm. I saw him last year at a barbecue. We said hello and goodbye at the very end of that. And then I had dropped off some food to a client of mine before the party, right? So I said, I'm going to go to a dinner tonight, and this so-and-so person is going to be there. And they were like, do not tell him that you saw us. I'm like, why? Because we're trying to keep our core friends at this point. We're not trying to make new friends at this point. I'm like, I wonder what's that about? So going forward, after, like, during the party, like, we're all drinking, whatever, had a good time. And then out of pocket, the guy's like, oh, I'm going home to get fucked in front of everybody at dinner. And the one girl's like, oh, okay, nice. And then as he's leaving, he thanks the host for cooking and says, I will repay you with a blowjob. And his fiance is like, what the fuck was that about? I'm like, in my mind, like, how close do you know these people, right? And apparently they have just met like one or two times.
Okay.
And then...
was he like drunk?
No.
How do you think he feels about Kraft mac and cheese? Because I could cook some of that up.
Well, I don't think they'll be reaching out for a spokesperson. So then, like, we had all exchanged numbers to, like, get into, like, possibly having a pizza night at their house eventually, right? Mm-hmm. And then at 1:30 in the morning, I get a message. Carlos gets a message at 1:30 in the morning. Complained that he could not sleep because, quote unquote, his daddy didn't give him any dick that in the evening. I'm like, okay.
And okay. What do you want us to do about that?
Correct. And then asks the question if he and I were uncut or not. And I'm like, what in the world did that come from? Where did that come
from?
And
this is a new person that was brought into the mix or whatever. Somebody that knew that, a new acquaintance or something.
Yeah, it's a new acquaintance. Yeah. I know him for the past few years, but like this is the first time I actually like
got you.
You know, interaction. I'm like, in that dinner did we give off the vibe that we were interested, right? And then so I said to Carl, like leave it unread. Ignore it, right? Then Monday comes, we're getting the puppy. And then the guy messages me. He's like, I'm kind of annoyed that you did not answer the question whether you guys were uncut or not. I told you I was inappropriate at dinner. I'm like, I don't recall you saying that. And two, like, where do you get off at 1:30 in the morning asking those kind of questions, whatever? And so at that point, I had to check her.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, inappropriate. Second of all, I don't know whatever you and your fiance do, that's not the vibe for us. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm like, messaging us at 1:30 in the morning is not, we're not even that close.
Right.
Not even Glenn close, we're that close. So then he got really upset with me because I kind of rejected it. He's like, oh, I wasn't really interested in this and the other. Like, if I wanted to ask you guys for like a hookup, I would have just asked you then. I'm like, no, you're just mad now because I kind of like, I put you in your place and now you're embarrassed about it. Now you're like acting out. So I told the host what happened. And he was upset. Mm. It's like, this is not what I wanted to do. Like happen. And then he said to me like, you know, this is what happens when you're trying to mesh different groups and not everyone's going to get the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully, you know, your people, like you said, you've been very intentional about the people that you make friends with. Similarly, mm-hmm. like in later years, it's like, I'm not hung up on having a big friend group or lots of gay friends. I'm like, I'm just looking for friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty fortunate. I feel like all of my like friend pockets, anytime anyone's together, they all blend well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I have girlfriends that have met some of my gay friends or other like straight friends, and like everybody like gets along. Like, I remember a few years ago, like, I wanted to go to Palm Springs for my birthday, and I just told my friends, I'm like, I'm getting a house. I just need you to show up. Yeah. Say it again.
How gay.
Some's jealous they weren't invited. It was a Sprite 35. And I just told everyone, I was like, I was like, I'm going to like get the place. I just need you to like show up. And and I'm very hesitant, especially about group travel. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And everyone just got along, and everyone, like, every time was like, Palm Springs is so great. My one friend in LA, Natalie, was just like, I love your friends so much. And they, like,
Natalie, Joanne.
And they, like, text on their own now. So, like, that makes me, like, a proud papa. I'm like, oh, yeah, not only are they friends, got along, but, like, now they're having a little, like, friend group.
Yeah. I mean, I like to be able to bring people together from different pockets, different groups, or whatever. But I am very much aware that it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes I feel like I get flack for that because it's like, well, why were you hanging out with this group if you didn't invite? Like, or at least maybe I don't necessarily, now that I think about it, maybe I don't necessarily get flack for it, but I feel bad about it because I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang out with this group. And my conscience is like, well, you really should invite so-and-so, but...
Yeah,
like
I'll feel that way if I'm out like with like good time friends or like acquaintances. Like I'm just like, oh, like I'm mindful. I understand. I'm like, I know where people do and don't get along. You know what I mean? So in that aspect, totally.
I like when it happens naturally. Like when we go out and like one group is there and then a single person's there, like bring them over to the group to like introduce, and then maybe one will hit it off with the other. I like that.
Yeah,
it's like very organic to me.
Yeah.
You know,
that brings back to mind, the whole conversation we had about like me not approaching you and all that.
Yeah.
Don't get the face.
I'm just, this is my downward face. Like, yeah.
But I feel like for me, sometimes it's like, you're like with your group of friends and I'm with my group of friends, and then I'll come in and I'll see you like, oh, hey, Noelle. And I'll be like, hey, you know, it's nice, blah, 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 blah. And
you go back, you know, to your corner.
I'll go back to my group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's read as me kind of just like being like, okay, bye. Like, I don't, but I guess on the other hand, it's like, I don't really know all. Like, it would be one thing if I was there by myself, then I could like stay with you guys.
Madam.
But like, I don't know. I think part of me is like aware that I have this other group that I'm trying to attend to or trying to, you know, be a part of. And so, but I feel like the answer for us is to actually like make plans to hang out more.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun.
I think we should try to let's try singularly first.
I mean, before adding another dynamic.
Oh, you too, Craig.
You bitch.
How dare. No, we should try doing that, and we should actually like record the moment together. Like, see? Amigos. That'll be fun. We like a Sunday or something like that, Sunday fun day.
Yeah.
We should try, and I think we could do it. If we do it here, we can do it anywhere.
Yeah. Like in New York.
I was like
what? Like, but I would love for us to like hang out together one on one and with Gregory here.
One-on-one with Gregory.
One-on-one with Gregory.
Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
It sounds like Delilah.
Yeah, so, okay. So then the other half of this topic was, like, being, like, the ugly friend.
Okay.
Have you ever felt like, and I say ugly, but I really mean, like, the least attractive of your group of, or of whomever you're hanging out with. Like, even if you're out with like one other friend, like have you ever felt like they were getting a ton of attention and you were just kind of like,
anytime I hang out with my old trainer, of course.
Oh,
I don't get in my head about it. I'm not like, oh, I'm like, I'm aware that
she is pretty.
He's a good looking man with a lovely physique. I
chiseled.
So when I'm around him, I'm like, I don't feel any kind of way, but I'm like,
yeah, well,
I'm
is aware he straight?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm
okay.
Aware he's the hot one and I'm just lucky to tag along.
Yeah.
But in general, though, like...
I felt that way with my first friend, Andy, that you met.
Yeah.
He was my first gay friend in Jersey before I moved here, and he was very, like, very popular. He was a Mac artist.
A Mac artist? A
makeup artist.
Oh, okay.
In the mall. So, was that...
Am I right? No, I wasn't...
He was laughing at me not getting Mac.
It just took him a minute. I wasn't being...
She knows.
I don't. It's just chapstick and mascara.
And so I felt like he was Sonic and I was Tails.
Oh, I got it.
And like when we come,
you were Luigi, he was Mario.
No, not even that caliber. I was just following him everywhere. Like, he would just, like, introduce me to,
gotcha,
like,
okay,
introduce me to all these people.
I was trying to continue the
no
thing. It didn't land, I guess.
I'd give you more, but I don't know. He was the dungeon and you were the dragon?
Totally. He was very popular, of course, and then he would introduce me to very many different friend groups he knew, and I just felt like, and he was, like, he's really pretty too. Like, he's always in glam, and like what I thought I would want to look like, how gay men should look like, really, it's put together, well dressed, mm-hmm, coiffed, you know. And I, at some point, I did feel like I'm not the pretty friend here.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get the most attention going out with him.
Well, then, like, what do you do about, like, kind of being in that headspace? Because I personally, I felt that as well. But, like, what is that like, I guess?
From what I can remember, I tried to get into his headspace by even trying on makeup. Like, he gave me my first bronzer palette, and I, before going out to New York one night, I had caked it on, but I caked it on in the dark. And then when he opened the door, he's like, "Oh, girl." I was like,
"Please tell me there are photos of this."
No.
Oh man.
No, but he's like, let's,
I'm just gonna put a photo of, like, the
Oompa Loompa
from the from Glasgow.
Yes,
yes,
yes. Yeah. And he's like, let's go to the bathroom, baby. And I actually show, he's like, oh, like, yeah, you don't have to do, like, all that much. And then, and, you know, eventually, like, I realized as I met more people, I feel like as I got older, like, definitely had progressed in my looks since high school. I knew that I was, like, a really cute baby, a cute toddler, and then my teenage years, I was, like, morphing into something, like, it looked like your shirt, like, very lava lampy, very hippie.
You keep saying that.
That's cute, though. It was very, like, psychedelic, like, very just, like, oh, he's, like, it's kind of like there's something there, but I'm not sure what's happening yet.
I just imagine the guy from the Goonies or something. Yeah. I'm like, you're saying you're hard. You're more like horrid. I don't think you were hard in high school.
She was a little hard.
I remember kind of having to wrestle with that for a little bit, because I had been going out with one guy who just, for whatever reason, I mean, he was very good looking, but every time we were out, it was like always had somebody who was like,
attention,
more interesting. Yeah. And you know me, like, I'm out, I'm trying to talk to people, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's like, I start talking to somebody and then they start looking over my shoulder at my friend, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, this was nice. I'm glad I could introduce you guys. I'm going to go walk over here. Like,
I'm going to go burn my head into a fucking, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that was annoying, but it also, I don't know, I guess it kind of forced me to be a little bit more confident in what I bring to the table and who I am. Is, you know, I feel like when you're hit with that situation, you're either going to succumb to it and just be depressed about it, or, mm-hmm, you know, go to extremes to try to be more beautiful or whatever like that. Or you can kind of be like, well, I am who I am, and whoever doesn't get with that, then
I feel like it would take that one person or friend or a new acquaintance that is, like, they're gorgeous or beautiful, and they see something in you that might make you feel equally the same. That could be a possibility. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because I've been on the flip side of that as well. I've been the pretty friend in the group.
You think you're pretty?
Confidence.
So.
Well, no, but just based on my friends' reactions. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, this bitch. I mean, you know, like, playfully, but still, it's like, you know, I've been on that side as well.
So you're saying you only keep ugly friends now?
No.
To make you look better?
I know why we're here.
Oh, okay. Well.
No.
I'm going to preface this with, like, this is not narcissistic. I don't think I'm pretty or beautiful or whatever, but I think definitely when I was younger, I definitely had issues with that of, like, even if I was or wasn't, like, the lesser attractive one in the group, I definitely had, like, insecurities about that. And so that point, as I've gotten older, I told you earlier, I'm like, I don't give up. Like, I don't think about that. Can I acknowledge when I'm in a group of good looking men and I'm not the most attractive? Sure. But like, mm-hmm. I don't go to like a spiraling headspace anymore.
Yeah.
And I think to that too, you said you kind of just get comfortable and you kind of have to just be yourself. So that too, I would also, not for any one or specific reason, but like, I definitely dressed a little bit more conservatively. I mean, mm-hmm. you've seen me like in recent years, like I just wear whatever the hell I want. And I don't mm-hmm. give a fuck what people think. Mm-hmm. Like there definitely would have been a time where I'm like, well, I don't want to wear this cause I don't want people to think I'm too gay. And I'm like, I don't.
He showed up to my house one day in full Muppet pink outfit. And I'm like, did you just come from work? He's like, yeah. Full Muppet.
Yeah. Like, it was giving big gay Muppet.
Yeah. I'm like, work.
Yeah.
With like a, was a cell phone.
It had like a metallic cell phone bag. Like the
no fucks given. And yeah. I was like,
yeah.
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 But I think for me, where I fall into that trap of being, we'll just say like, my insecurities of being like the unpretty friend is when I'm in a group where I don't feel intellectually up to everyone else's levels. Cause like, I will joke, and it's definitely like an what's it like when you like put yourself down to protect yourself?
Oh, like self-deprecating?
Yeah, I have a very self-deprecating sense of humor. Like, I don't think I'm the smartest one in most groups, but like when I'm
I think that's pooping.
But
no, that's
that's self-defecating.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you say?
Self-deprecating.
Oh, okay, see.
No, I've been in groups with like smarties, whether they be like doctors or lawyers, just smarty everyday people.
What do you call those people?
Intelligent.
No, a cluster of people who are like that.
What? Intelligent?
Mm-hmm.
Like cluster of people who are intelligent.
They're just always a cluster of people that like have higher like IQs and they're like architects and like all these people, and there's like a cluster of them.
It's called power lesbians.
I don't know.
I don't know where we're going either.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll come to you.
You would. When I'm pooping.
But continue your story.
I mean, that's kind of the end of it. Thanks for... No, but like there'll definitely be times where like if I'm in a group of like really intellectual people and they're talking deep politics or this or that, I'm just like, that's not where my brain works. And I'm just like, yep, doop de doop doop. I'm the dumb one. So like I never think about being the ugly one or the pretty one, but I often think about being the dumb one.
Yeah.
And that I don't love. But
yeah.
So that's why I keep dumb friends.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely get a little bit more into that kind of comparison with our later episode, because we're talking about like measuring up to our friends and all that stuff. So stay tuned for that episode. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess maybe we can go into like some advice for at least for, I guess, both sides. Like if you're a third wheel and you feel like you're a little bit left out of the group, what can you do to kind of reinsert yourself and feel like a part of it? Or do
put
you
out.
Need to remove yourself? What did you say? Put out?
I'm just who do you think you are, me?
No, I think if someone is feeling that way in a group, that they don't feel included in that group, maybe just find another group that will make them feel included. Like, why would they be there, really, if they feel that way?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, would you hang out with a group of people that don't make you feel, like, included?
No.
Right. So I feel like, why not find a group that makes sense to you?
Yeah. I also feel like people stick around groups like that because they feel like that's what they need to do in order to have that big gay friend group. You know, sometimes it's like, okay, well, I'm here. But I'm like the forgettable friend, but I'm still in the mix a little bit.
What's that mentally doing for you?
I mean, nothing, but it's for some people, I think that's status. It's optics, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not based in real friendship, but it's like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is what it is to keep you know, them connected.
I mean, I feel like for me on some level, I kind of had to do a little bit of work to make the closeness that I have with certain acquaintances work. Like there was a good amount of time, you know, that I was around, you know, some of these people in my tennis group. I felt a little bit like on the outs sometimes, and I felt like maybe I had to just kind of stick in there. And I feel like but I will say it's a different circumstance because I wasn't like, they weren't like inviting me to group things and then not talking to me. It was more about just like going to the going to play tennis and talking. And yeah, I mean, it's just like, I feel like it's a little bit different because you have to go and you have to show up. So that is one of my messages of advice, is if you're going to like a community organization, one of the important things is to continuously show up.
Right.
Because that makes people a little bit more familiar with you, and then you can get to know some people. So maybe that was a different situation.
Well, can I ask, like, what, if that's the case with you in tennis, right? What will get you to go beyond that to want to be interested in being friends with someone besides tennis? What do they have to give to you?
What do they have to give to me in order to, in order for what?
To, like, in, for you to be engaged with them, to become friends.
I think just curiosity, just like a genuine curiosity about me, because that's what I'm giving to them. You know, I show an interest in their life and what they're going through. And if I feel that I'm not getting that back, then it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to sit here and just talk about you all day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sure it feels good, but you, I'm like, clocking it.
So, you're like me, where I like to know, like, deep stuff about people and their lives and, like, how to get to know them.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like doing that.
Right.
They don't get that heavy. They don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned that, and you know, those people, you know, we'll have a drink for about 5 minutes. I'll say hello and goodbye. I mean, like, you know, I don't have an issue with people who don't like to get deep, but I am not going to be a close friend of anybody if we're not able to talk about some real stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Do you give them the chance to do that, since you kind of like had said that you do this where you, like, you think you're bothering people?
Do I give them the chance to open up a little bit more? I feel like I do. You know, whenever I'm talking to somebody that I'm like interested in as a friend or anything else, it's like I always try to keep the dialogue open. But there's not always going to be that connection. You know, sometimes there's a disconnect. And sometimes you just have to know when to fold, you know? And I feel like I have a good gauge on that.
When to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm go over here now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know for me, like, I think in recent years, I've done a lot of work on myself and just a lot of different avenues. So, like, I know I wasn't always the most comfortable, like, especially if I didn't know people, like, sharing or like going deep. So like, I know for me personally, like, sometimes I can live on the surface just because it feels safer. Mm-hmm. But like, I know if someone prompts me to kind of get me there, I'm good. But like, I know sometimes for me, I just don't naturally show up and give it, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely, I'm sure to a lot of people, present as very surface and fluffy and all that good stuff. Fluffy.
He's so fluffy.
But if I'm in an environment where I feel safe, and like, once I get to know someone, if they will prompt me, I think for me personally, that's a good way to get that, the juice, because
so
I'm not always giving
prompt,
it out.
They would have to prompt.
They don't
you.
Have to, but I'm just saying I will be a lot more likely if someone does. Like, yeah. I'll offer it up on my own, but yeah, like, I would never have before. Like, you would have had to be like poking me or asking me, like, with respect and intention, of course, but like, mm-hmm. I'm a lot more comfortable showing up in that way when I wouldn't before. So I imagine some of those people may be the same way.
Yeah.
But you know when it's like, okay, cool, that's is literally just service and nothing else. So.
Yeah. Are you kind of a deeper?
I am.
You like to dive a little bit deeper. You like to get to know the person. You feel like, you know, I feel like that's where the connection comes from.
Yeah, when
he
I...
He likes to go emotionally snorkeling.
When I met up with you for a drink before recording, like, I pretty much laid, like, part of my life, most of my life out to him. Like, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I like to do. This is what my life is like, whatever, just to get more of a deep of who Noelle is.
Yeah.
And he had may not had opened up in the beginning like I did, but eventually... He gave me pockets of personal things as he got more comfortable talking to me, of course.
Yeah, and I think same thing. You probably were like, can you tell me more about that? Or you prompted me to kind of give you a little bit more.
It just makes the connection stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, like, date, like going on a date is like, meeting friends is like going out on a date.
Yeah.
You have to get to know your friends, because, like, who are your friends going to be there for you when you do... go missing, you know, people, those who care.
Yeah.
You want people to care about you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of that first conversation that you guys had, or that first meeting that you guys had?
Well, you had reached out to me, yes. And you said you wanted to give me an opportunity to know you outside of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Just to get to know you, so it's not just me plopping on this couch and being like, "So, guys." Mm-hmm. And I think also you wanted to be able to kind of give me your backstory so I understand where you were coming from if certain conversations or topics came up. Because again, if I didn't know you, I'd just be like, "Oh, da 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 da." Mm-hmm. But being able to actually know your backstory, I can like volley it back to you, or I can be like, "Oh," it just gave me an opportunity to understand him.
Got you.
Outside of the podcast, okay. Mm-hmm. To make the conversation
more flowy,
yeah,
more real,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it looks like you guys synced up immediately, so
because we both share the same cycle, and we use the same brain pause.
Jesus, sometimes I do think you're sharing the same.
It's funny because like
same black of a mind.
If I were to see Gregory out, I'd be like, holy shit, like I don't know if I can be friends with
a faggot like this.
Just a bitch.
Or am I wrong?
Wait, what?
The visual be like, oh my god, like it's awesome,
it's a lot.
But I don't know if like I could measure up. One, because you're fucking tall, and tall people like make me like . So like when I this persona you have of who you are is more than just like the pink and the makeup and the hair.
Yeah,
it's real.
Do you guys feel like, because I don't know, I feel like there's a common thread of the people that we will kind of not throw ourselves at, but I guess introduce ourselves to and try to be friends with and kind of see and kind of maybe, I don't know if prejudging is the right word, but like getting that initial view of who they are and deciding whether or not to make, you know, because you had said like with Greg, if you had seen him in person, you probably wouldn't have done that. Greg, I feel like, you know, based on the conversation that we'd had, like, I feel like there may be some kind of trepidation kind of initiating friendships with other gay men, if I categorize that correctly.
I have no problem initiating.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And like, I feel like I can go to a bar and talk to anyone. Like, I'll often go out just by myself.
After like a drink or two.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm more social once the alcohol's in me. Girl, mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm a very social creature.
I'm like Belle.
I like talking. So like, okay. I have no problem just initiating and just popping down, especially if I think it's very natural for us to kind of just prejudge whether it's right or not. I think we do look at people and we make assumptions whether they're accurate or not.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of times where like if I'm just out at like U bar or like knock by myself, like I'll plop down next to somebody that I don't necessarily find physically appealing because I'm not there to try to like flirt, but like I can talk to like an older guy next to me and have a good time, and that's usually whatever. So like if I'm at a bar and I like find someone I'm really into, it's like to that point I can tell whether this is just a kiki, or like if I'm like, no, I want to see you and I want to hang out again. And that's happened a few times where I'm like, let's get together, or there are people that I've met like a month and a half ago that I keep trying to be like, when can we get together again? So I'm not opposed to it, I definitely approach it with just
it's definitely like, I think personality is such a big thing for a lot of people. Like it's not just looks, whatever, because like I can have a combo with like a guy that maybe not be my type, but like there's something that's so interesting mentally that's like I want to keep talking to this person, and I'm not really that attracted to him, but like there's something there.
Yeah,
that's how this is not a shade to Navarre, because I know you're listening, and say that's how I met Navarre. I mean, very attractive, but like we met out in the alley outside. Oh, come in the alley outside of U Bar, mm-hmm. And this is like during COVID-ish times. Mm-hmm. I had like a I'm going home.
No, I'm taking you.
Don't pay attention.
No, and I had a Spice Girls T-shirt on, and I was supposed to be meeting somebody. It was a complete jerk, and we didn't hang out. But he was there, and I didn't know him. And he just saw my shirt. We just started talking about music, and we've instantly became like really close. We've been hanging out since. He's actually moving in with me. So no, I have no problem like initiating and actually making like friends with people. Okay. But like that was a situation where I was like, we could have just been having drinks and talking music and then gone our ways. But like there was more there that I was like, okay. And like he's become one of my like best gay friends.
Yeah.
And he introduced me to him one night and like we talk here and there. It's
that's cool.
He's a really nice guy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you typically like what kind of guys typically would you just kind of approach and talk to or like be comfortable talking to? Because it seems like somebody on the more, I guess, prissier side or something.
Pretty.
That's not pretty, but like
attractive.
Maybe a little. Maybe
as in like standoffish.
Maybe a little standoffish.
Someone who seems warm and inviting and like you can tell like they're not like snooty or whatever.
Yeah, I think you read people's energies.
Eyes.
Eyes
and thighs.
Mm-hmm.
I read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
Someone who like smiles when they're out a lot and just like not psycho.
I will find like, you.
Not crazy. Like someone who can sit, you can tell they have a warm air about them for sure. Like oh, I can tell that if I bump into a person, they'll be like, what? They won't be like, what the fuck?
Oh, I hate that. Because that'll happen all the time. People bump into me and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And they keep going. I'm like, wait, why?
But
am
do
I
you
sorry?
Feel like you give that off?
I'd like to think so. Again, you guys can speak differently. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, how you perceive me, how other people might. But I think I'm pretty bubbly, and I feel like I usually have a smile on my face.
I watched you out before, and he's like that.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like you wouldn't approach him.
I'd be like, girl, a nice hat or a nice outfit, and then start a conversation.
Well, wait a minute, because you said you wouldn't have approached him a minute ago.
No, like.
If you had seen him, like, out.
I think more so because of the way, if I'm understanding correctly, it's more so how I present and not, like, necessarily the energy I was giving off, that I just give this over-the-top extraness that you're like, that's, you would feel like you would need to dress and act like me to be friends with me, but that's not the case.
Okay.
As we've decided before this podcast started airing, I said I would never hang out with me because I think I'm exhausting. I would hate me. So, thank God you're not like me.
Oh. In ways.
Yeah.
In ways.
Yeah.
Mentally. Sometimes.
I don't know. I mean, like, in my case, I wonder if there are certain people that I just don't initially, like, I feel a little something. Like, I don't necessarily think that I do. Or I try to be open. I try to be, like, you know, if I happen to talk to somebody. I don't know. Like, I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, you know, hey, dude, what, like, hey, what's going on? Like, I'll talk to anybody if the energy is right and if the situation or if the opportunity provides itself.
Mm-hmm. That's how you and I met.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
Like corner front of like U Bar.
Yeah. Our mutual friend introduced us. So yeah, that was.
Would you approach either one of us if we were like out and about?
Out and about?
If you didn't know us?
Yeah. I think so. I'm trying to think if there's any like archetype that throws me off, and I can't really think of it. I mean, you know, there are like the prissy gays or whatever, and I feel like a lot of people put me into that, I guess. I mean, I'll take it.
What's a prissy gay?
But it's just like just very maybe they have like their big group of friends, maybe they are very well put together. They seem to be very into themselves. They may have an air of standoffishness.
you just described yourself.
No, but I mean, that's not truly how I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I feel like I try to put myself together well, but like standoffish, no. But I might give that off sometimes, or I might, you know, appear that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. But that's not really how I am.
Someone used to tell me that I looked very mean when I would be out. I looked very serious, like a almost like a door bouncer that was never like approachable. And I'm like, oh no, but I'm not that way at all. Just like this is my resting face when I'm like thinking whatever. And I remember that a lot, that when I'm out, like try not to look so
constipated.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've been told I had resting bitch face.
Because, before. Like, I had that face when I'm working. When I'm in, like, serious mode cooking, I'm, like, so in it. And then when I'm, well, in public, I had the same face, you know? And people be like, are you okay? Like, yeah, why? Like, you look so angry. I'm like, no, I'm just in my deep thought all the time. And so I'm mindful to just, like, relax. Like, you know.
Relax, relate, release.
Anus.
What?
so random. I don't know.
That's how I am.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd say, like, to, as a jumping off point from that particular piece of our conversation, I would tell people to kind of like be open to like different types of people. I feel like we all have our different biases because of the stuff that we had gone through and because of the different groups of gaydom that we got or placed ourselves in or are placed in. And I feel like at the end of the day, we're all kind of in this community and we all can talk to each other if we just give each other or take the chance to like say, hey, how are you? You know, it doesn't have to always be so awkward or you don't have to feel so anxious about it.
Yeah. The next time you see someone like at a high top at a bar by themselves, just be like, hello, and see what happens. You never know. It could be your best friend you just met, love of your life. Like, you just never know.
I mean, I'll say, oh, what are you drinking? Oh, I'm gonna get that, and then move on.
It's like side night.
But like, and if nothing happens after that, then okay. Yeah. But it's like you leave the door open to more interaction, more conversations. And I'd say do that with everybody. I mean, don't wait until it's just like the cute guy that you want to talk to. That's how you like,
because you never know who they know,
and they might have social skill. Well, you never know who anybody knows, but you also get to work the social skill of just like approaching people and talking to people,
networking
by talking to maybe the less attractive guy who's trying to hit on you, or the guy who's just
because they might have a hotter friend,
and,
Because they might have a hotter friend.
No, that's not where I'm going with this.
I'm just joking.
But also. We only have a minute or so left, but like for like quick advice for anybody kind of feeling like the ugly friend in their group or pairing or whatever.
I think it comes down to, do you feel like kind of like the side piece? Like what is the friendship mutual? Are you getting things from each other, or do you just feel like kind of like the outcast? So I think it comes down to the dynamic and just knowing your value and kind of being able to look for better, closer friendships, unless you're truly just ugly and y'all are best friends. That could be.
You kind of hit the nail on the head for me, because like that's how I feel too. Just like, why are they like, what's the point of having all those people around you if they're not giving you core things?
It's okay to be ugly, but is it a mutually beneficial relationship?
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say if you're in that space, you kind of have to work through that. Not everybody's going to be into you. Some people are going to be more conventionally attractive, and that's going to be like, he's going to be the number one hottie in the club.
Can we do a rate board between the three of us, and they have to like
pick? Do a poll right now. Watch what happens live.
Can we do a poll? Who's the prettier?
Let's not do this.
Who's the prettier guy on the panel?
This sounds divisive. comment below.
But but also give yourself a break. Sometimes you don't have to always go out and get reminded of how less attractive you are than the other person.
I can't do that.
That you're with. Huh?
I was like, I can't do that.
You can't do what?
Give yourself messy. A break.
I can be messy, but this is like normal.
He's like, I'm just this beautiful all the time.
Oh, girl, you should see me in the morning.
Well, anyway, I will say, yeah, that would be my advice. So, yeah, I hope you learned something from our situations, and
if you feel ugly, hit us up.
No. Don't hit me up. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. yeah. And what's the line? Oh, wait. Get the line right. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
And if you have nobody else,
you have us.
You did it.
No.
Yes. You got us. So let's try that one more time.
Okay.
And remember, if you have no one else, you got us.
You got us.
You've got me.
Okay.